All right, we're holding on page 2 in Brachos, last line. We started talking about that there are mishmores during the night, and we started the discussion, which the Gemara is going to continue later on, whether there are 3 or 4. Right now, we're saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds that there are 3 mishmores in the night, where we said there are mishmores here on earth in the sense that, for example, when you have guards in an army camp or whatever, they have shifts. And there are also mishmores in Shemayim, meaning that there are different shifts of Malachim that praise Hashem at different times during the night. And we said each of those times, at some point during each of those mishmores, the times that Rabbi Eliezer gave simonim for, when the donkeys bray and when the dogs howl and so forth, is the times when Hashem Kavyocha roars like a lion. And as the Gemara is going to say soon, what he actually says at that time is how he expresses Kavyocha, how upset he is over the fact that the Churban and the Golos are still existing. So now the question is, Rabbi Eliezer gave a simon for each of the 3 mishmaras. So the Gemara asks, "My kachoshev Rabbi Eliezer? What does Rabbi Eliezer mean when he says each of these simonim? Does he mean the beginning or the end or something else of the mishmaras? Itchilas mishmaras kachoshev. If he's saying the simonim for the beginning of the 3 mishmaras, so he's saying at the beginning of the first one the donkeys are braying, and at the beginning of the second one the dogs are barking or howling or whatever. Well, tchilas mishmaras is trying to simon alomali. What do you need a simon for the beginning of the first mishmar? Urtahu, you know when it starts. It starts at Tzeis HaKachavim. Everybody can see what time that is. You don't need a simon for it. Isoif mishmaras kachashiv. And if he's counting the ends of the mishmaras, he's saying at the end of the first mishmar, at the end of the second mishmar, etc. The question is in the reverse. Soif mishmar achron is simon alomali. So what do you need a simon for the end of the third mishmar? Yomamahu, at that point, it's alois hashachar or netzachama, as the case may be, however you count them. And you know when it is, because you can see that the sun, the sky is getting light. Ella, so what it means is Choshev Soif Mishmar Rishayna. Rabbi Eliezer is listing the end of the first Mishmar, or Tchilas Mishmar Achrayna, and the beginning of the last one, and the middle of the middle one. So in other words, if we take the view, if we're saying there are 3 Mishmaris, and each one is 4 Shois Manias, so he's saying 4 Shois Manias into the night is when the donkeys are braying, and now you know it's the end of the first Mishmar and the beginning of the second one. 2 hours after that, at Chatzos HaLaila, is when the dogs are howling, and that's the middle of the second mishmar. 2 hours have passed, and there's still another 2 hours to go. And the third one is at the beginning of the third mishmar. 2 hours after that, so 8 shoris manias into the night is when babies start waking up hungry and nursing, and when people who are lying together in bed, couples who are lying in bed together, wake up and start conversing with each other. According to that, by the way, it comes out, since we said yesterday that the vort is at those times we said Hashem is so to speak moaning and complaining over the galus, and therefore the point of that was, we said the Gaonim say, the Rosh brings that those, the point is that we should take a lesson from that, and those are the times when we should be davening for the galus to be over and for the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt, because those are an Eis Ratzon. So this, we're saying the middle of the middle one is Chatzos. That's where we got the concept of Chatzos being Eis Ratzon. So this is where we got the concept of Tikkun Chatzos. Now the Alter Rebbe brings in the Ha'order of Tikkun Chatzos that you can find in the fat Siddurim. Now, the Rebbe discusses over there, he also discusses in Igeres HaTshuva about the importance of Tikkun Chatzos, even though it seems that nowadays very few people do it. But the Alter Rebbe talks about that everybody should be doing it at least once a week. And then in Ha'orah L'Tikkun Chatzos, after he explains Al Pi Chassidus what the inyan of Tikkun Chatzos is, which he says you have a brief mention of it in Tanya in Perek Mem Gimel, and you have a little more about it in Igeres HaTshuva Zayin, and then you have in more detail in this Ha'orah L'Tikkun Chatzos. So he says if a person, for whatever reason, can't make it by actual Chatzos, then he can do it as much as 2 hours before Chatzos. Again, based on what we're saying over here, because the end of the first Mishmar is 2 hours before Chatzos. And then he says the same way, if you can't do it at Chatzos and you have to do it afterwards, then you can do it anytime until Alois HaShachar, for the same reason.
If you don't really understand what you're saying, but you're just saying the words, does that do something or what?
I mean, it does something. Eventually, a person should try to learn. Eventually, a person should try to learn what the words are. I mean, when it comes to Tikkun Chatzos, at any rate, I mean, half of it is Kapitel Tehillim. You know, you have perfectly good translations of that available. But the other tefillahs as well. I mean, saying the words of the tefillah itself is a big thing. Understanding them is a whole other thing. Yeah.
It's going to mess up your whole schedule and hang it up the next morning for this early.
That's another point. The truth is that may be why it became less likely. The truth is, it's first of all, in the old days, we were saying before people went to sleep around Tzeis HaKachavim, because, you know, candles or lamps or whatever were expensive. Nowadays, people stay up until all hours. It seems also there is some evidence from different places in Shas and Lahav Abdul from different other writings from those times, it seems that very often people would have their sleep in two phases. They would go to sleep around say Sechachovim, give or take. Then they'd wake up in the middle of the night, do different household tasks or whatever, and then go back to sleep and sleep a few more hours. Whereas nowadays you don't do that. So yeah, that might be why it is that Tikkun Chatzos has become something weird. The Iboy Seima, another possibility, the Gemara says, Kulu Soif Mishmaris Kachashiv. In fact, Rabbi Eliezer is listing the simonim for the end of each Mishmar. So he's saying 4 hours into the night, 8 hours into the night, and 12 hours into the night. Now you're arguing you don't need a simon for the third one because you know it's, you can see it's getting light. Lamai nafkamina. So nevertheless, there would be a practical difference. Lamikri krishma lamanda goni b'vais ofel. When it comes to saying krishma, somebody is sleeping in a dark house where there's no windows or where the windows are covered with heavy shutters or whatever. V'lo yodas man krishma emas. He doesn't know what time is krishma because it's dark. It's the same darkness inside the house before and after Alos HaShachar. But kiven d'ishim esaperes in baila v'tinik yonik v'shdei imoy. Once he realizes that this is the time when women are talking with their husbands when they wake up in the morning and when babies are starting to nurse, leikum v'likri, at that point you should realize it's Alos HaShachar, time to get up, or shortly after Alos HaShachar, time to get up and say krishma. Hakosev over here points out, so we talked about yesterday what he says the symbolism of all these three simonim that Rabbi Eliezer gave was that it means a person should know that the donkeys are getting up, I should also be getting up, but not for donkey-like pursuits, but rather for ruchniyistic ones, and the same thing each of the other ones. So he says this is also a continuation of it. Even if a person is in darkness, gashmiyistic darkness, ruchniyistic darkness, nevertheless, he should be doichik himself, be makabel ol malchus shemayim. And therefore, so we're saying isha mesaperes in baila. So what happens when people wake up like that? What are they talking about? They're talking about stam, whatever random things come into their minds. A person at that time should realize this isn't the time for that. This is the time to be getting up and be makabel ol malchus shemayim. Further on this topic, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Amar Rav, Gimel Mishmaris Havi Alayla, the night is composed of three watches, like we said that Rabbi Eliezer had said, Va'al Kol Mishmar U'Mishmar, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shoyeg Kari. Every one of those Mishmaris, again, whether it means the beginning or the middle or the end or whatever, Hashem sits, and as we said, Kav Yochel roars like a lion. Va'oymer, and he says, Oy Shech Ravdi, woe that I destroyed my house. The other girsa, which is how it's printed in the Gemara, is woe to my children that because of their averus I destroyed my house, which actually the Sefer Dukduke Sofrim, which brings girsois from early prints and from Kisvei Yadim, whatever, he explains that was something that the censors changed. For some reason, the censors, not only whenever you had anything about the Christians or whatever, they cut it out, or whenever you have anything about the Goyim, they changed it or whatever, but also in some places, they decided they're more frum than the Chachamim. So if the Chachamim are saying something where Hashem is saying about himself, woe is me, they decided it's not respectful to Hashem, and therefore they have to change it. So, but the real correct gear says that Hashem is saying, Oy Shech Rav Ties Besi, woe to that I destroyed my own house, how, so to speak, like how bad off I am because of that. And that I burnt my heichel, the glacius bonil of an odikachovim, and that I sent my children into golos among the goyim. So Hashem is bemoaning by every mishmar the fact that that situation was necessary, and the fact that the causes of it have not yet been fixed up. So that was the point that we said before, that the goyim bring and the rosh and the rabbi goyim brings and the rosh brings, that the idea is all of this gemara is meant to motivate us to realize if Hashem regrets it so deeply, Kavyachol, that he's bemoaning it three times a night, we should be also realizing that and have the same sensitivity and also be crying out at those times over the Churban and over the Golos. The vert that we say that Hashem is roaring like lion, by the way, so you have the famous thing, in fact, we know the Bais HaMikdash is compared to a lion, Hashem in Pesukim is compared to a lion, and you have the famous thing that the Rebbe quoted innumerable times, the Lashon and the Medrash that says that we mentioned in connection with Sechna Midas, that Ola Ari, that Hashem, that the lion-like Nebuchadnezzar, who was also compared to a lion in the Pasuk, came and destroyed the lion-like Bais HaMikdash in the month of Ari, in the month of Av, Al-Manas, in order that on condition that Hashem eventually, the Ari, will come and rebuild the line-like Beis HaMikdash in the month of Av. So this Shoyig Kari also goes together with that, that Hashem is roaring like a lion, representing that he's so to speak, missing the Beis HaMikdash and the closeness that he had with us Jewish people in the Beis HaMikdash, which itself is compared to a lion. And Hashem is saying, I am going to change, I am ready to change that as soon as Hayomim Mikol HaTishmo, as it says in Sanhedrin. So in this connection, the Gemara continues, Tanya, Omer Rav Yosi, Pam achas ha'isi mahalach baderech. One time I was walking on the road, v'nichnasti l'churva achas mechurvas Yerushalayim l'ispalo. I went into one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. This was after the Churban, so there was one of the ruined buildings, one of the destroyed buildings in Yerushalayim. I went in there to dab. Ubor l'yo z'chroinu l'vracha, and l'yo anavi came, v'shomar li ala pesach. He waited for me by the door. Rashi points out the word v'shomar does not mean he guarded, it means he waited. We find in some places where the word shomar means to wait, like for aviv shomar asadav. So he waited, v'himtin li, and he waited for me, which sounds repetitious, which is why it's in parenthesis, although Eitz Yosef points out that the point of it may be that if we only had the word v'shomar, we might misunderstand it to mean that he was guarding me because of the dangers in a ruined building, and therefore v'himtin li makes it clear that no, he was just waiting for me. He didn't want to interrupt my dab. Ad shesiyamti tefilasi, until I finished my tefillah, until I finished davening Shemoneh Esrei. La'achash siyamti tefillah. See, after I finished davening, Omali Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So he, Eliyahu HaNavi, greeted me by saying Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Ramati lo Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomori. Why didn't Rabbi Yosi greet Eliyahu HaNavi first? He knows that it's Eliyahu HaNavi. So Hakosev says that he was so awestruck by him that he couldn't. So therefore, Eliyahu had to take the initiative. And then once he did, then Rabbi Yosi answered him respectfully. Omerli, so the Yahweh says to me, Bni, my son, mipnei ma nichnas to l'churvazu, why did you go into this wound building? Amarti lo l'ispal, I said, in order to damn him. Omerli, the Yahweh tells me, mipnei ma lo ispal alta, or hoyo l'ho l'ispal baderach. Why didn't you daven on the road? Or you should have davened on the road instead of going into a ruined building, which, as the Gemara is going to say soon, there's a number of reasons. The Gemara is going to say further down on the Amud, there's actually three different reasons why a person should not go into a ruin like that. So why didn't you daven on the road? Amauti Lois, Rav Yosi says, I said to Elio, Misyari Hayisi Shami Yafsikuni Overdrachim. I was afraid that passers-by are going to interrupt me. You're going to have people are passing by, it's going to distract me from davening. Omer li, so the Yahweh tells me, in that case, you should daven the short daven. Rashi and Tosfos both explain, Tosfos first starts discussing, maybe otherwise, but eventually they conclude like Rashi, that tefillah tzarim here means the tefillah havineinu, which is discussed later on in the Masechta. So when a person is davening havineinu, the way it works is you daven the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei till Okei LaKodesh as normal. Then you have one paragraph that begins Havineinu Hashem Elokeinu that encapsulates in it. You have one line or so for each of the 13 middle brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and then you finish off Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Tefillah, and then you say the last three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. So it takes a lot less time. So he's saying you should have davened that. Tosfos discusses the possibility that maybe actually tefillah tzara can mean something else. The Gemara there discusses a different short tefillah that you say when you don't even have the time for Havineinu. You say a tefillah that begins tzorche amcha merubim b'daitim tzara, which is where we get the line in Siluchas merubim tzorche amcha b'daitim tzara is modeled on that. And the difference is, the Gemara says that doesn't count instead of Shemoneh Esrei. When a person reaches a place where it's safe, then he has to daven the proper Shemoneh Esrei, as opposed to once he daven Havineinu, he's potter from that Shemoneh Esrei. But anyway, Tosfos discusses that, but concludes like Rashi, that we mean over here, Havineinu. So Ba'osa Shah Lamadim Menor Shlosh Advarim. So Rabbi Yosi says, at that point then, in that conversation, I learned three things from Eliyahu HaNavi. Number one, I learned you're not supposed to go into a ruined building, as the Gemara will explain further down why that is. Number two, you can daven on the road, even though it is better to daven in a building. And in fact, later on in the Masechta, the Gemara says that's considered chutzpedik daven, like in an open field or something. But nevertheless, if you have to, then it's better than going into a ruin. Worth mentioning in that connection, an interesting thing the Friedrich Rebbe mentions in his in the Rishimus HaMaaser in the description that the Friedrich Rebbe wrote of his experiences during his last imprisonment in Shpalerka before Yod Beis Tammuz. He described, at one point, he digresses over there from talking about what he's experiencing in jail and starts talking about reminiscences from his childhood. One of them being, he says, when they were traveling to Yalta in the Crimea for the Rebbe Rashab's health, at one point they passed by the side of the road. There were these big rocks. There was big hollowed out rocks where the hollow in them was big enough for a person to stand inside them. And the Rebbe Rashab explained that Eibishter creates everything for a yid to be able to do mitzvahs. Since you're not supposed to daven in an open field, so the Eibishter created these rocks that are big enough to go inside, and that way you can daven in.
You drive down from Yerushalayim down to the way there's giant rocks with the holes in the.
So there's similar kinds of things in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, this was in Ukraine, but yeah, same idea. Anyway, so you daven on the road if necessary. And number three, if you're davening on the road, then you daven the tefillah tzara of Havinein, rather than davening a full Shemoneh Esrei, because as Rav Yossi said, otherwise passers-by might distract you. Now, there is the simple meaning of what we just said. However, HaKosev has a long explanation over here of the deeper meaning of all of this. He says, Libi Oimeli, my heart tells me that there's more here than meets the eye. So he says, what was going on over here is, Rav Yossi lived not only after the Churban, he was one of the Talmudim of Rabbi Akiva. So he lived after the failure of Bar Kochba's revolt, and after so many of the Chachamim, the Asura Arugin Malchus, and hundreds of thousands of other Jews had been killed. So he was concerned about, when we say that he went into one of the Churbas, doesn't just mean in the physical sense, means in the Ruchnistic sense, he was delving into, why is there still the destruction of Yerushalayim? Why is Yerushalayim still destroyed? Why is the Beis Mikdash still destroyed? Which was the same kind of thing, as you find Daniel in his times during Golus Babel was concerned about the same thing. And he's davening at great length about that. He's delving into and thinking why that should be so. And Leo is asking him, why are you going into the Sforva? In other words, HaKosev says, when it says that Leo appeared to him, means that he actually reached a level of Ruach HaKodesh, a level of like a minor nevuah. So he's being told, Min HaShemayim, he's being told, why are you into so much into the Churva? Doesn't it appear that when you're doing that at such length, doesn't it look like you're protesting against Hashem's judgment, as if like you're claiming that Hashem is not acting rightly? So you shouldn't be doing that. So Rav Yossi answers. So he says you should be davening on the road. Meaning, in other words, that Elio is telling him, don't. As far as when Mashiach is going to come, when the Geula Amitis Vashlema is going to come, leave that up to the Eibishter. You don't have to be delving into that. What you should be doing is davening for the Derech, that the Jewish people now have a long, very hard road of Golos ahead of them, and that's what you should be davening for. So Rav Yossi says, I would, except that I'm afraid that Oivrei Drachim are going to disturb us. You have the goyim that interfere with us throughout that road of Golos. You have the internal things that a person doesn't have enough parnosa, and that a person has various other internal troubles that prevent him from focusing. So Leo says, you're right. So what you should do is then don't daven at length. Instead, daven a tefillah katsara, daven a short tefillah that encapsulates a lot within it. In other words, here he mentions this other tefillah, Tzorchei Am from Merubim, that daven, that, yes, we're in this difficult road of Golos, so Hashem realize how bad off we are and help us during that road of Golos. But leave the question of Churbas Yerushalayim to the Eibishter. So now Rabbi Yossi is saying that I learned Taka these three things from him. Number one, don't be delving into when is Mashiach going to come, leave that up to the Eibishter. Don't be doichik as a kates. Number two, daven for the Jewish people for what we endure during the hard road of Golos, that we should survive it and that we should flourish during it. And number three, make sure that that's a tefillah tzara that encapsulates everything that it should. So now Rabbi Yossi continues his story that Elio said to me, "Bni makhil shamata b'chor bazu." What sound did you hear when you were in that room? I said, Shamaiti Basko Shemanahemes Kayon. I heard a basko that was cooing or moaning like a dove. Doves make certain kinds of doves make a very mournful cooing sound. So it sounded like that. What is a basko, by the way? So in the space of Rashi over here, he refers to something that Rashi says on this in Sota, where there Rashi says that a basko is actually a malach that gives messages from Hashem to people. Tosfos in here and in other places learns differently that it means that it's actually an echo of Hashem's voice. Bas Koel literally means the daughter of the voice. So you have the original voice of Hashem, and then you have like a faint echo of it, which is the Bas Koel. Maharsha Shah here says the same thing, because he says, we said before that Hashem roars like a lion. So why is Rabbi Yossi hearing it as a dove? So the vote is like he hears it very attenuated. He hears it much weaker than the original, and therefore he hears it as a dove. There's a different other interesting explanation that the lion is more over the first Beis HaMikdash and the dove is more over the second Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, so Shemeheres Kayama, but Imeres, and it says, as we said before, Oishach Ravti Yur, Labonim Shebab, and saying, Ravti as Basi, woe that I destroyed my house, the Sarafti as Hecholi, and burnt my Hechol, the Iglesias Bonin, the Rena Ovid Kachavim, and sent my children into Golos among the Goyim. Which, by the way, why the double expression, Achravti as Basi, the Sarafti as Hecholi? One explanation is that the physical destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, before it, there was a ruchniistic destruction. Before that, the Shechina left the Beis HaMikdash. In the case of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Psukim tell us, and the Gemara spells out in Rosh Hashanah, that it left the Beis HaMikdash in 10 stages. By the second Beis HaMikdash, also, the Goyim never could have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash if the Shechina hadn't left it. So therefore, that first stage, the Shechina leaving it, is the Achravti as Basi. At that point, the Beis HaMikdash is spiritually ruined. It's just an empty shell. And after that came the Seraphius Basi, that it was actually physically burnt down. So I heard this voice. Omerli, so Elio tells me, says Rabbi Yossi, Bni, my son, Chayecha v'chayei roshcha, I swear by your life and by the life of your head. It's a double expression. It means, in other words, like to intensify what he's saying. What I'm saying is most definitely true. It's not just at this particular time you happen to walk into the skurva and punk, you caught Hashem saying that. Three times every day, Hashem says that, like we said before, the three mishmaris. Whenever the Jewish people in Golos go into their shuls and at the Bate Medrash, whenever they answer Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyochol Menaneya Roshay, Hashem Kavyochol shakes his head. Like in the Oimer, and he said, the shaking the head is like a simon of Avelus. The Oimer, and he says, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekal Sinos V'Beisei Kach, how happy, how fortunate is a king who they praise him in his house like that. Meaning, Hashem is saying, how much I missed when that praise, Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, was said in my house in the Beis HaMikdash. What does a father have when he sent his children into exile among the Goyim? Maharsha says before he was a king, but now during the time of Golos, Hashem, so to speak, has lost his status as king. Because the Einakise Shalim, so therefore, so to speak, Hashem is downgraded to just the level of a father. Should go to Mal Shulchan Avim, and woe to the children who were exiled from their father's table. So this is what Hashem says at all these times. Whenever we say Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, then that evokes that response, Kavyachol from Hashem. Now Tosfos discusses over here an interesting point, which is, what do we mean when we say the actual words Yehesh? What do we mean when we say Yisgadol V'Yisgadash Shmei Rabba? So Tosfos brings from Machzor Bitri an interesting idea. The word Shmei, it can be spelt out Shin Mem Yud and then a He. So therefore, that can be broken down into Shem Yud Ke. And what we're saying when we say Yehei Shmei Rabba and we say Skadar V'Skadash Shmei Rabba, what we mean is that that name Yud Ke should become great. That right now there's only the Shem Yud Ke, because we know Ein Akis Yishalim, Ein Hashem Shalim, Ve'Ein Akis Yishalim. Hashem's throne is incomplete. Hashem's name is incomplete, Kavyochol, as long as Amalek and everything that he represents is in the world. And eventually, La'asid Lavoi, it'll be made great. So therefore, when we say Shmei Rabba, we mean that we want Hashem's name, Yud Ke, to become great. Tosfos actually disagrees with that on various grounds. Nevertheless, it is brought lahalacha that is one of the things to have in mind when we say Kaddish and when we answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba.
Shemakavto Olamal.
Yeah. Hakosev goes on with his explanation over here. First of all, he says, of course, when we talk about Hashem shaking his head, obviously we don't mean literally, because Hashem ain't like guf, ain't like dmus, but like dmus aguf. So what it means is, in other words, we're, you know, as usual, dibra tera koloshim ne'adam, we're saying, in other words, Eliyahu is explaining to Rabbi Yossi how how bad Hashem feels over the Churban and the Golos. Hashem would like to do. Hashem is Teva Atoiv Lahetiv. He wants to be able to give. He wants to be able to give good, and he wants that his Nivroyim, and especially we, his Jewish people, his Am HaNivchar, should be complete. So nevertheless, the fact is that Hashem's justice requires that when people are not acting the way they're supposed to, there have to be consequences. So therefore, that's why there was a Churban, that's why there was a Golos. And Hashem, when he's shaking his head and expressing himself like this, he's saying, Oishach, Rabdi Besi, and so forth. In other words, we should realize how badly Hashem feels about it, and we should be motivated to do something to change that state of affairs. Hashem is saying, Kavyochel, it's not in my hands to do something about it, it's in your hands. You have to be in the, you have to put yourself in the situation where this can be undone. So these bonim have to take the initiative and make sure to be able to make themselves worthy to come back to Shulchan Aviv. In Chassidus, it talks about that out there. It talks about in a Maimon, in the Kutei Torah, in Parshas Shlach, talks about that this Menanea Roshay also has a meaning of Chassidus. The Rosh, the Menanea Roshay, explains that Roshay refers to the Rotzen Elyon. Menanea, when he shakes it, Kav Yochol means that he's drawing down the Rotzen Elyon into our world. So therefore, whenever Hashem hears us saying Amen Yehesh Me Rabba, then it means that Hashem's Rotzen Elyon is being brought down into our world. So we have it when we have that, and that accomplishes tremendous things in the world. And then when we say Yehesh Me Rabba Mevarach, so it means, like Tosfos said, it means that we want Hashem's name to be made greater. And when we say La'olam Olmei Omaya, he explains La'olam means into the world of Atzilus, and La'olmei Omaya means into Biyah. And it should be brought down, this Rotzen Elyon, and Hashem's name and the fullness of Hashem's name should be brought down all the way down into Olam Asiya, into our world, and accomplish what it needs to accomplish.
Sounds like when we shake the lulav, it brings down all the
rocks. So that's a little shaking. Each mitzvah accomplishes different things in its own way. But yeah, in particular, the Alter Rebbe explains there that that's what to happen. That's what it means when we say the phrase Yehesh Meir Abba Mevarach La'olam Olam Olamaya. That's what it means. And that's what it means. This Menanea Rosha that Hashem is bringing down. It's Rotzen Elyon, it's not staying up there, someplace up there in Olam HaSol Yonim, but it's coming down into all world. So the Gemara continues, Tanan Rabbanan, Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Ein Nichnosim L'Churba. We said before that Eliyahu HaNavi told Rabbi Yosi, you shouldn't have gone into this wound. So why not? Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Ein Nichnosim L'Churba. There are three reasons why not to go into a wound. Number one, because of suspicion, people are going to think like he has a zona waiting for him over there, because in those times, that was a popular place for zonas to hang out, would be at a rood where nobody goes anyway, they'd have some privacy. Because the building might collapse on him and it would be dangerous. And because mazikin, shadim, hang out in such deserted places. And the Gemara goes on, by the way, with a whole long discussion why we need three reasons. And the Gemara ends up, even when one of the reasons doesn't apply, even when two of the reasons don't apply, you still have to take into account all the reasons. And therefore, as long as any of them apply, then you can't do that. Okay, so the Gemara goes on to say, now we said before that there were three Mishmaris, but now the Gemara brings another opinion. Turn it up on a Dalad Mishmaris, Habe Alayla, Dibbe Rebbe. Rebbe says the night is made up of four Mishmaris, so each one is only three Shoyes Manias. Rab Nosson Omer Sholosh. And Rab Nosson says, like we said, Rabbi Eliezer, we said before, that there are three. Ion Yaakov, by the way, points out the underlying argument can be, what do they represent? Do they represent three Obers, or do they represent the four Imahus? In fact, he mentions in that connection, when you look in Tikkun Chatzos, you'll see that there's a part of Tikkun Chatzos that's labeled Tikkun Rochel, and a part that's labeled Tikkun Leah. So the idea being, in other words, again, you're saying it at Chatzos, or as close as possible to Chatzos as possible. So it's like on the cusp between the end of, according to the opinion that there are four Mishmaris, then you have the middle two Mishmaris, or for Rochel and Leah, and therefore you have different parts of Tikkun Chatzos representing each one of them. Anyway, so my time is Rav Nosson. So why does Rav Nosson say Dafka that there were three? So Dichtiv, you have a Pasuk. In Sefer Shoftim, you have the story when Gideon, together with an army of 300, is going to fight against the Midianim, who have an army 135,000 strong. You have the whole story over there, where he originally had 32,000, and then Hashem told him, Mia Isha Oda Yara V'racha Lev, has to go home, and then anybody who gets on their knees to drink the water, and so forth. So at the end, he was left with only 300. So the pasuk describes by Yoveh Gideon Umeya. So now what he did is the pasuk describes he split his 300 into three groups. He gave each of them shofros and uthen wear jugs and whatever. And they're going to play a trick on the Midianim and pretend like they're much larger than they really are. So the pasuk describes by Yoveh Gideon Umeya Isha Sher Iter Tzeamach. Gideon and 100 men who were with him. So again, yeah, the other 200 are with different other commanders on other sides of the camp. They came to the edge of the camp of the Midianim. Rosh Hashmoras HaTichona, and it was at the beginning of the Tichona Hashmoras. So what does the word Tichona mean? Tona, we learn in Ebraisa. En Tichona, the word Tichona means the middle. Ela sheyesh lefoneo l'achreya, means there's one before it and one after it. In modern Hebrew, for the same reason, they use tichon to mean high school, because between elementary school and college. Anyway, the point is that tichon means the middle. So therefore, if there's a middle mishma, it means there have to be three, and therefore you have to have an odd number. And then therefore, so it would mean that Gideon and his men are coming and getting ready to attack at, say, 10 o'clock at night. Okay, the Rebbe. So what does Rebbe answer to that? He who says there are four mishmaris, he says, "My tichona, achas mina tichona, shabat tichonis." It means one of the two middle ones. It means, so okay, if there's four mishmaris, it means that the second and third are the middle ones during the night. So it was at the beginning of one of those. But Rav Nosson answers to that. The fact doesn't say any such thing. It doesn't say tichona, because it just says tichona, which means there's one middle one. So therefore, there has to have to be three. Okay, what about my time of the Rebbe? What my time of the Rebbe? So why does Rebbe? What forces Rebbe to say that there were four mishmaris? The answer is Amar Reb Zurika, Amar Reb Ami, Amar Reb Shor ben Levi. Because Kosev Echad Omer, you have one pasuk that says Chatzos Laiva Ochem Lohodes Loch Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha. David says on himself, I wake up at Chatzos Laiva to praise you, to thank you for your righteous judgments. Which, as the Gemara says later, it means that at Chatzos Laiva he would get up and start learning Torah. Another pasuk in the same capital says, my eyes woke up before Ashmuras. Now, if there were only three Ashmuras, then it means that there was only one and a half Ashmuras from Chatzos until Alois HaShachar. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that if David hadn't woken up at Chatzos, then instead he would wake up at Alois HaShachar, like most people do. So therefore, it comes out that he's only waking up on a one and a half Mishmuras, one and a half Ashmuras ahead of time. So therefore, necessarily, says Rebbe, that shows there have to be two Ashmuras from Chatzos until Alois HaShachar, and that means there have to be four total. So okay, it's a dalit mishmaris, habe alayla. So therefore, necessarily, that means that there have to be four mishmaris in the night. So what about Rav Nosson? Now, what does Rav Nosson do with that contradiction between those two psukim? He says, Savalak Rav Yeshua. He instead holds like Rav Yeshua. Where we have, later on in the perek, it talks about what's the latest that you can say kriyashma by day. And you have the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, which is the halacha, the Omar, the Tnan, Rabbi Yeshua, Imad Shalosh Shois. Rabbi Yeshua says you can say Shema until the end of 3 hours in the day. Shaken Derech Melochim Lamed B'Shalosh Shois, because kings regularly wake up at 3 hours into the day. So therefore, so now what is David doing? Instead of waiting and waking up until 3 hours, instead of waking up 3 hours into the day, like the other kings do, he's waking up at Chatzos. So therefore, even if you have only three Mishmaris, it works out. Shistileria, you have 6 hours during the night from Chatzos until Alois HaShachar, V'tautidimama, and two more after Alois HaShachar, or after Netzachama, as the case may be, until you reach the third hour. So therefore, Havalahu Shtei Mishmaris. So altogether, that makes up the equivalent of two Mishmaris. So yeah, it means he's waking up at Chatzos, which is in the middle of the second Mishmar, and then he's staying up and learning Torah for the remainder of that second one, the whole third one, so far that's 6 hours, and then 2 hours into the day before the other kings start stirring out of bed. Pnei Yeshua, by the way, points out, now when it comes to Sof Zman Krishma, we say it's the end of the third hour. Here, the Gemara seems to be calculating to the beginning of the third hour. So he says the vote is, kings are waking up during the third hour, some of them at the beginning of the hour, some in the middle, some towards the end. By the time of the end of the third hour, all of them are awake, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua says that's the deadline. After that, you can't call it Uvkumecha anymore. Uvkumecha means when people are getting up. After that time, nobody's getting up. But still, he says that still, so the point is, some of the kings are waking up during the hour before that. They're waking up beginning from the end of the second hour, beginning, say, from 8 o'clock in the morning. So therefore, so you can say, so David preceded them preceded all the other kings by getting up 8 hours before them. So therefore, that still allows us to say that there are three mishmaris during the night rather than four. Another answer. Rav Ashi, I'm a mishmaro poganam. Mishmaros karilu. Rav Ashi says you don't need that answer. You can say one and a half mishmaros can also be called mishmaros plural. So therefore, you can say kidmoin ashmaros, even though it wasn't two full ashmaros, it was only one and a half before alois hashachar. That's still enough to count it as a plural. Marsha points out, by the way, the Gemara could have answered that he started at Ashmura Shnia, you could say, from 10 o'clock at night until Chatzos, as the Gemara is going to say later on, he was already Osek Batora, and then was saying that from Chatzos and onward, he was doing Shiras with Tishbachos, which in fact, the Gemara brings that point later, but later on, the Gemara is going to bring other psukim from that capital that imply otherwise, and therefore the Gemara can't use that answer. Okay. Since we mentioned something that Rav Zrika said in the name of Rav Ami, who said in the name of Rav Shurban Levi, so the Gemara brings something else from that same chain. V'omer Rav Zrika, omer Rav Ami, omer Rav Shurban Levi. Ein omen b'fnei mes ela dvarav shal mes. When you're in the presence of a mess, you're only allowed to say things that have to do with the mess. For example, a hesped, or things that have to do with arranging the levaya or whatever, but not other things. Now, omer Rav Abba Kahana, like I'm moran ela b'divrei Torah. So Rav Abba Kahana says that only applies to saying Divrei Torah in front of the mess, because then you have the problem of Loyeg LaRosh. The mess can't learn Torah anymore. When you're saying words of Torah in his presence, then it's like you're making fun of him. Ha ha, we can learn Torah, and you don't have that ability anymore. It's called Loyeg LaRosh, like you're mocking the poor. For the this is the same reason why we tuck in our tzitzis when we go to a Beis HaChaim and other such things. Less than God. But if we're talking other things that are not Divrei Torah, then there's no problem, because then the mess doesn't mind that. Even Divrei Torah, by the way, when it brings this in Shulchan Aruch, it says if the Divrei Torah are part of the hesped for the mess, then you're allowed to. Anyway, the Ikadami, another version is Amar Rav Abba Kahana, Lo Yamar Ela Afilu B'Divrei Torah. On the contrary, we're talking about even Divrei Torah, even though those are important and you're supposed to be talking about them as much as possible, you shouldn't say them b'fnei mes. V'chol Shekin Mila D'Alma, how much more so mundane things, which the point of that would be it's bizoyan to the mess, like you're acting as though you're not concerned about taking care of his levaya and the arrangements or whatever. You're just sam talking unnecessary things. Now Tosfos brings over here that all of that would apply only when you're within four amos of the mess. However, in Shulchan Aruch, it does not paskin like that. In Shulchan Aruch, it paskin that any place you're b'fnei a mess, then you have the same rules. So you're not supposed to be talking Divrei Torah or Mila D'Alma. You're only supposed to be talking about things that have to do with the mess, about, for example, the hesped or arrangements or whatever. So if in the course of that you're saying Divrei Torah, then fine, but not to say them as a separate thing. On the Mishnah, on the Yotzeit is something else. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Shnei Ames. We're talking about when the actual body of the mess is there. Yeah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola for Yud Zayin Elul. They once asked the Alter Rebbe, who's greater, Moshe Rabbeinu or Mashiach Tzidkenu? And the Alter Rebbe answered, Mashiach Tzidkenu. Moshe Rabbeinu is like a doctor who doesn't yet have experience. Mashiach is like an experienced doctor. So therefore he, and in fact, the Rambam uses the expression that Mashiach will be, he says there will be a greater chacham than Shlomo and a Navi almost of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, continuing on halachas of Mizuman. If three people ate together, then since they have a chiyuv of mizuman, they're not allowed to split up in each bench separately. The same way if you have four or five people ate together. None of them are allowed to bench by themselves because all of them have a chiyuv. But if you have six or more, up to 10, then they can split up because then you have three for each group. And if there's 10, where then they have the chiyuv of using Hashem's name, then also they can't divide up unless there's at least 20 of them, where then they can divide up into groups of 10. Sometimes you have, by the way, he doesn't really talk about over here, but you have, it's very common at weddings and other simchas that you have that people split up into smaller groups and bench by themselves. It's not so glach lahalacha, but there are poskim who find reasons to defend it, mainly because you're not planning to stick around until benching. You want to bench and leave, and therefore they say, and after all, everybody was eating at separate tables, so that also maybe makes a reason for it. So it's not so glach, and if you can, it's better to stay for the actual mezuman and to say nevarach levakenu. But the mice, you do see people doing it that way. another din in that connection. If when you have 10, everybody made a mistake, the one who's saying the mezuman and everybody who answers, and they didn't mention Hashem's name, they can't go back and do it again with Hashem's name because they were already yotze the choiva of zim. So they missed the mitzvah of mentioning Hashem's name. It's an example of mu'uvas lo yuchal l'sven. But if the other people who are answering have not yet answered, so he said nevorach shalchan l'mishaloi, and then he catches himself, then he can go back and say nevorach elokeinu shalchan l'mishaloi because they haven't answered yet. So therefore, they weren't actually yotze mezuman. We're saying that if the leader says Nevorech Shalchan L'Mishaloi, when he should have said Nevorech Elokeinu Shalchan L'Mishaloi, then he can go back. But if they answered Baruch Shalchan L'Mishaloi T'Vachayinu without Hashem's name, then you can't go back and say it again with Hashem's name.